I'm going to tell you this because some of y'all in here, you're already ministers, like do Sunday school or children's church or something like that. But I got this message this morning at 9:35. Or actually, maybe 9:30. Anyway, I was just getting out of the shower. And what I do, because I do Sunday school every week, but now Monty does it every last Sunday of the month. When I get done and I leave with a message, all week long, it's kind of like in my heart and in my mind, I'm scanning. And what I mean by that is I'm looking. Is there anything sticking out to me? You know, something on the TV, something I read, something somebody says. Anything sticking out to me or mean anything to me? Because how many knows you can do things without the Lord? Now, I know the Bible says we can do nothing. What he means is you can't do nothing that's of eternal value or worth much. Now, the title this morning is The Anointing. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because God doesn't always... I love it when God gives me on Wednesday, and I got to minister Sunday, a perfectly laid out, handwritten message. Ooh, those are good. Why? You already know it all. You know where you're going. You know all that stuff. But how many knows God is a God of faith? And like for me, I tell the Lord, if I ain't heard nothing like this morning, your mind, if you're not careful, will try to start rehearsing scriptures and things, and you're looking on the inside. Is any of that sticking? Is any of that mean anything or whatever? And it's not. How many know sometimes that can be a fearful thing? Because I got to get here and all y'all looking at me. And y'all like, okay, let's go. I can't go if he ain't done went. You understand what I'm telling you? So you have to stay in faith even if you don't know why, because that's what trust is. God, I trust you. You know, I don't have anything for these people. I don't have anything for anybody. I am a blank slate until you write on me. I have absolutely nothing. So the reason why I'm telling you that is because during those times, you better stay in faith, because it's going to take faith to hear. And God is faithful. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to me. And sometimes, there's been times that God doesn't give anything because he don't even want a message preached. You don't know what I'm talking about? Where you walk in the door, the service starts, and he just begins to move. So it's however he chooses to do it, because I am not the author of this thing, and neither are you, right? So we have to trust him. We have to depend on him of his faithfulness. So if you got your Bible, let's look at 1 John chapter 2. Lord, help us this morning all to be in the same mind, same spirit, your spirit, God, of one accord. That we get, Lord, we hear what you're speaking to us. I'm going to start reading in verse 24 just for time's sake. Well, no, I'm going to go back. I'm sorry, Beth. I'm going to go back to, I think, 21. He says, I write to you not because you are ignorant and do not perceive and know the truth, but because you do perceive and know it, and know positively that nothing false, no deception, no lies of the truth. Who is such a liar as he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah? He is the Antichrist, the antagonist of Christ, who habitually denies and refuses to acknowledge the Father and the Son. No one who habitually denies disowns the Son, even has the Father. Whoever confesses, acknowledges, and has the Son has the Father also. Now this is my key verses. As for you, keep in your hearts what you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the first dwells... Now, we talked about that word last week pertaining to Psalm 91, remember? This is not something you think about every now and then. This is not an every 2 weeks thing. He says, dwells and remains in you, then you will dwell in the Son and in the Father always. And this is what he himself has promised to us, the life, life eternal. That's talking about God kind of life, Zoe. I write this to you with reference to those who would deceive you, seduce, and lead you astray. But as for you, the anointing, the sacred appointment, the unction which you received from him abides permanently in you. So then you have no need that anyone should instruct you. Now, some people have used this verse right here to say, God's did away with the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, all that. You don't need to go to church. Say you got an anointing. And the Bible says you have no need that any man teach you. But that's not what he's saying there. How many knows I may be the one talking, but he can tell you things I don't even say. But it's when we get in that anointing, when we come into the corporate here. He goes on and he says, but just as his anointing, whose anointing? Not mine. Teaches you concerning everything and is true and is no falsehood, you must abide in, live in, never depart from him, being rooted in him, knit to him, just as his anointing has taught you to do. I was reminded of something that happened to us. We hadn't been saved long. I don't know, maybe 6-8 months, something like that. But anyway, we had been to church, and we was just coming home from church, and we went to Tonka to get some gas. We lived over there at the bottom of Berry Mountain. And we stopped to get some gas, and there was one of Scotty's family members there and another guy, you know, they're talking outside. And anyway, they see us, and they come over there, and they start telling us how that we don't have to go to church anymore. And this guy draws out this thing on a piece of paper, looks kind of like a football field, you know. They wasn't at church that morning, needless to say, and telling us how we don't have to go to church anymore and we don't have to do this and we don't have to do that. And I don't know much scripture, hardly any at all, but I do know the Lord. He lives on the inside of me. And when you get born again, you have an anointing. But I'm going to talk about another one a little bit later. Because the Bible says that when we get born again, the same Spirit of Christ comes and dwells on the inside of us, right? If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead abides in you, so if you're born again, he does. So I don't know very much Scripture. I can't contradict with Scripture what they're saying. But on the inside of me, Scotty says I started kind of bouncing up and down in the seat. I don't remember that, but anyway, that's what he says. There was something on the inside of me talking about the anointing, the Holy Spirit inside of me telling me, this is not right. This is not the way. See, we just got through reading the scriptures where he talked about how that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. How many knows there is antichrist and deception all out there? On the airways, on the TV, in some of the churches, in the people and different things. But I knew on the inside of me this was not right. This is what he's talking about. That anointing that's on the inside of you. When you see something, when you hear something, he's going to confirm this is truth, this is right, this is the way. Or he's going to on the inside of you, something's wrong with that. You might not know exactly what's wrong with that, but when you get that, something's wrong with it, don't take it. Why? Because he lives on the inside of us. And he says that that anointing that's on the inside of us is going to teach us. Now let's look at, I think Acts chapter 10. No, let's don't go to that one yet. I can't think of where this one was at, but y'all know what I'm talking about. The Bible talks about, y'all remember the story where John the Baptist, he's out there baptizing people, right? Y'all remember him. His last name's not Baptist, it's just that he's a baptizer, so that's what they call him. But anyway, he's out there baptizing. And the Bible says that he's baptizing them in water for repentance. In other words, to change their heart and mind, prepare you the way of the Lord, he says. Well, y'all know the story. Jesus came walking toward him, you know, and everything. And he says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he tells John, baptize me. Now, I'm paraphrasing. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? He tells John, baptize me. And John, you know, he kind of argues with him. No, you know, don't baptize him. But anyway, he goes on and he baptizes him. What happens, y'all remember, when he gets baptized in water and he comes up? What? The Spirit of the Lord in the form of a dove comes down and descends and rests upon him and he stays. Right? Now, let's go to Acts chapter 10. Gosh, I'm going the wrong way. For time's sake, I'm going to start reading in verse 37. Now, they had already been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Peter stood up, and he's preaching here. If y'all remember the way that this goes, about 3,000 was added to the church that day. But he begins preaching to them about Jesus. And here in verse 37, I've got that in the Amplified. It says, the same message which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism preached by John. How God did what? See, we don't think a lot of times about Jesus had to be anointed. Because what you got to remember about him, yes, he is the Son of God. But he came, stripped himself of all glory, all power, everything. The Bible says nothing was made without him that's here in the earth, the stars, the moon. Nothing was made without him, right? Or apart from him. But he stripped himself of every form of being God and was born into the earth just like me and you. Why? Because if he didn't, then we couldn't do it. If he had some kind of advantage over us, then we could say, well, we can't. You know, we're not Jesus. But how many knows we don't have to be Jesus, because Jesus was the Christ, the anointed one. And the Christ, if you've been born again and anointed, he lives on the inside of you, right? And so he says here how God anointed, the same message, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee, after the baptism preached by John, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How he went about doing good, and in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. And then he goes on talking about how that they was eyewitnesses and to everything that Jesus done, and they seen and he heard. Now let's look at Acts chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. It says, I think I got that in King James, don't it? Yeah, this will be King James Version. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, notice that. That should stick out to you. He didn't do it himself, right? He says, through the Holy Ghost, gave them instructions. That's exactly how I'm doing this morning. Had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what? The promise of the Father, which saith he, ye heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with what? The Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Jesus himself was baptized with the Holy Ghost, right? We just went over that. So every one of us is supposed to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. See, God never intended we get saved and 50 years later we get baptized in the Holy Ghost and start praying in tongues. If y'all remember in the book of Acts, whenever the Apostle Paul, he come across some people, I can't remember now exactly what chapter it's in, y'all probably remember the story. He came across them and he asked them, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost now that you have believed? And what they say, we ain't even heard of such a Holy Ghost. And he asked them, what have you been baptized in then? They say, the baptism of John, right? And what happens? He lays hands on them, they get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they begin to speak with other tongues. That is supposed to happen when you get saved. But a lot of times it doesn't, because just like them, a lot of us have not even heard there's such as a Holy Ghost when we get born again, right? So he tells them here, they'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons of which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive what? This word, when you look it up, it's dunamis. We get our word dynamite. Y'all ever watch that show? I can't remember that black guy. What's his name? What? Jimmy Walker. No. Yeah, I'm talking about on the show, his name. Anyway, he would say, dynamite. Y'all remember that? That may have been his real name. I don't know what his real name is. But did y'all ever watch that show? No, y'all too young for that. Monty's not. But anyway, he knew who I was talking about. Anyway, it serves the purpose of what I'm saying. We get our word dynamite from that word dunamis. It says, but you shall receive power, or dunamis, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If this says after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that means before you don't have it. Right? If it's going to be after, then before I don't have it. It says after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? witnesses. A lot of times I think today in the Christians, we think, you know, we'll say something like, well, I'm going to witnessing, or I witnessed to so-and-so or whatever. But when you go back and look in, what is it, Mark 16, and the Bible talks about how Jesus was with them, or how the Holy Ghost was with them, performing signs, wonders, miracles as they preached the word, confirming the word. See, we're supposed to have, the Holy Ghost is supposed to be demonstrating the word that we minister. If we minister the word about healing, the Holy Ghost is supposed to be ministering the word about healing. What does that mean? People get healed. If he's having us minister the word about salvation, he's supposed to be working with us, performing signs, wonders, miracles. People's supposed to be getting saved, right? If he's ministering the word about deliverance, then whenever we minister the word about deliverance, the Holy Ghost is supposed to be demonstrating that deliverance, right? Why is he not sometimes? You ever thought about it? Because we're talking about the anointing. I can say anything I choose to say, Sandy. I can preach and teach, if that's what you want to call it, anything that I choose to. I can so-called witness to somebody, tell them about the Lord or whatever. That's usually what we call it. But how many knows it's not in what I choose? The anointing is only on what the Holy Ghost is saying, because he is the anointer. He is the power, right? We just read it. Jesus himself was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Then we're supposed to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. But it's for a specific, it's not for me to lay on the couch. There's some people, they want the anointing, you know, or they'll say, God increased the anointing, you know, and he might say, well, why? So you can watch more TV? So you can work more? So you can do this, that? No, you are anointed for a specific purpose. See, Jesus himself said, I don't say anything, what? Except what I hear my Father say. How did he say it? How did he hear him say it? Through the Holy Ghost, just like me and you. The Bible says in, what is it, John 16, 15, 16, somewhere around in there, it said, the Spirit of the Lord, which is the Holy Ghost, will teach you all things. He said, he will take of what is Jesus's and reveal it to me and you. That same anointing that was on Jesus is upon me and you, if you've been born again. And it is an anointing for service. Let's see here. That word anointed, how God anointed Jesus, the word anointed right there in that verse, when you look it up, in the Strong's Concordance in the Greek, it says, through the idea of contact, to smear or rub with oil, to consecrate to an office. That tells me something. If you got an anointing, you're supposed to be in some kind of office. Over there in, what is it, 1 Corinthians 12, it tells all kinds of offices, right? In 13 and 14, it talks about the ministry of helps. It talks about the apostles. It talks about the prophets. But the thing about it is, we have to abide in that anointing. You have to get real close to him. What do I mean by that? You got to spend time with him. I was thinking earlier, you know, I told you I didn't get this message till like 9:30, 9:35 and everything. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, God, why are you doing that? Now, I used to think he's waiting on y'all to figure out if you're coming to church or not, but I don't know about that. He didn't tell me that. But he hand-tailors, he hand-picks every service. Everything in the service that goes on here, we're supposed to find out from him. The songs that Travis sings or that the praise team plays and they sing, they're supposed to be the ones the Holy Ghost is saying. Because, see, the thing about it is, when you learn when he's there and when he's not, oh, you never want to be in a service where he's not. There's certain denominations and different things. They are very good Bible teachers about history and different things. And they'll take like the book of James, and they'll teach the whole text, you know, of the whole book of James or whatever. And they're good at it or everything. But how many knows it's kind of like reading the Reader's Digest? You might learn something, knowledge, you know, or something like that. But the Bible says knowledge without love is puffed up. But anyway, I mean, you might learn something. But how many knows you can take one verse, and if it's the verse that the Holy Spirit told you to read or to minister to or whatever, I'm talking revelation, and when he comes, oh, it's so good. See, I can't just do anything I choose to do. I have to hear from him. You have to hear from him. I don't care if it's teaching the kids back there, if it's keeping the nursery. I need to be led in the nursery. Maybe that kid likes something I had never thought about before. You know what I'm saying? And you definitely want to keep them from crying. Well, I need the Holy Ghost leadership to do that. I need the anointing if I'm going to be a good nursery worker. April or whoever needs the anointing. You need to be led what you teach them kids back there. Why? Because you can teach something and it be like school. They're not learning nothing about the anointing at school. They're not doing all of that. But how many knows in here there should be an anointing? The Bible talks about how that the anointing, it removes burdens and destroys yokes. And the anointing is the only thing that can do it. And he goes on here and he tells them, you'll be a Holy Ghost shall, you'll receive power after he comes on you. And you shall be witnesses. Now the word witnesses there is like what I said. You talk, the Holy Ghost backs it up. But you didn't initiate the talk. You understand what I'm telling you? Because you don't know where people are. You may live with somebody. I live with Scotty and I know a lot of things about him. And I can think I know or presume what he needs or something like that. But how many knows? I only know the outward things that I can see. Or the things that comes out of his mouth that I can hear. But I cannot get inside his heart. Oh, but there's one the Bible says over there in Romans. It says that the Holy Spirit searches the heart and mind of God and the hearts and minds of men. So if I'm led by him, I can be productive. If I'm not, we just killed some time. We have shucked the corn or whatever you want to call it, you know. But it's when you do what he tells you to do and the anointing is on it and it just flows. It's like oil sometimes. And he goes on here and he says, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Now let's look at, I think Luke 4. Every testimony in here given should be Spirit-led. If I don't feel the Spirit of God moving on me to say it, then I shouldn't say it. Why? He don't want it said. So I can say it, and people be like, ah, yeah. I know y'all don't want to do it. I'll just be Debbie Downer, Johnny, or whatever you call her. I'll be the one that tells the truth in here this morning. You know, you hear somebody. Even if it was a good testimony, God did something. How many knows there's a timing for everything? The Bible says there's a time for every season, everything that's done. And if he's not saying it, it's not right timing. But when he's saying it and you say it, it'll do the same thing whenever you say it that it did when Jesus said it. Why? It wasn't his words and it's not yours or mine. So here in Luke chapter 4, let me get there. I've got this in the King James too. Verse 16 for time's sake. It says, and he came to Nazareth, this is talking about Jesus, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went where? So even Jesus himself had a custom to go to the house of the Lord wherever God had chose, right? I should have the same custom. On the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. Now he's not there just because he chooses to be there. God prophesied this right here back in the book of Isaiah years and years and years before Jesus himself ever even came on the scene. It says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, notice that, he found. He didn't just open the book and there it was. He found it. The specific verses that the Holy Ghost wants him to read, right? He found the place where it was written, and this is what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. That's why the Spirit's on him. To preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now notice this. Y'all know how long the book of Isaiah is, right? It's not just this. There's 60-something books in that Bible. Chapters. So then it goes on, and he closed the book. He didn't read no further. He closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now notice what it says. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This was written, I don't know how many hundreds of years before it came to pass. Now you got to look at this. His timing has to be perfect. Why? Because God's done said it. See, sometimes people, they think they hear something or see something from the Lord and they're supposed to do this, that, or another. But then when it changes, kind of like for an example, there was somebody that had cancer and somebody said the Lord told them about three or four different people was supposed to come to their house and they was all supposed to pray and the guy was going to be healed. Well, he called the three or four people that he says the Lord showed him to be there and one of them couldn't come. So he chooses somebody else. No. That tells me right there you did not hear from God. Mm-mm. If God tells you, it will be right on the money. Why? He doesn't waste his words. What he says comes to pass. What I say, it might happen, it might not. I doubt it, right? So it's all about the timing of what he says. Jesus' timing had to be absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. Why? This has to be absolutely perfect with the right people, at the right place, at his right age. He couldn't have said this at 18. Why? It wasn't supposed to be at 18 years old. It's supposed to be now. So me and you, not just, how many knows, sometimes everything is timing with God. Just like you get a prophecy or whatever, just like this. Adadala gave prophecies about this church, you know, and some things that's coming and going to be and this, that, and another. How many knows that depends on me and you? Because unless it's something like this. Now, there's something just like what Sandy told me about Travis. I had been praying, wanted a baby, told me we couldn't have a baby. Sandy is led by the Lord, comes to my house and says a lot of stuff, and then at the end she tells me, she said, God said to tell you within 3 months you'll be pregnant. Now start rebuking the devil off your body. So I get out, she leaves, I get out there on the lawnmower. I believe it. So I got to have corresponding action, right? I'm on my riding lawnmower, and I'm going down through there. I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Exactly 3 months later, I found out I was 2 months pregnant. Now, I had instruction to rebuke the devil, right? Other than that, I had no instructions. There's some things that God says is dependent upon me and you, whether that comes to pass or not. God said it because it's his will, and if he says it, he empowers us to do it. But how many knows? If we're lazy, if you don't run your race, if you lay down on it, crawl, you know, be like the hare or whatever, the turtle or whatever. Why? Because God's got a specific time and he's got a specific place that we all got to be there. If not, you miss it. Some people get the idea that, I just have to say it this way. Say you're in the nursery or whatever and you're not supposed to be in the nursery. Say God has a word for you. Now, God can do this, but most of the time, he will not. Say you're in the bathroom or the nursery or somewhere you're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be in here. This is just an example so you can see what I'm talking about. And God has a word for you that you need to hear that's going to get you to your next rest stop. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because all along the way, God kind of has like filling stations. Why? We all got to be filled back up. We all got to get another direction from the direction that we had before, the way we're supposed to keep going. If you're not in the place, if you're outside talking on the phone, or you're in the bathroom, or you're in the nursery or something, that wherever you're not supposed to be, or you're turned around punching people and talking to people in here to where you cannot hear, you're going to miss your Kairos moment. And it's something, and the devil is a major distractor. He knows when God starts getting on the very thing that you need because he's already working to keep you from getting that word. And Johnny, he'll have you punch Samantha. Not, I know you wouldn't, but I'm just saying. Punch you at just the right time. Or the kids act up at just the right time. Why? Because I have to be focused on what the Lord is saying and what he's telling me. And all the time the devil has distractions. All along the way, you cannot afford to be distracted. This church, as a body, we cannot afford to be distracted. That's like at one time, it was like almost perfect unity in here. I don't know if y'all felt it. I mean, this was like last year or the beginning of this year, whatever. No, last year, I think. Now it feels kind of like we're scattered. We're on different things. We got to get back on the same thing again, back in the same place. Sometimes that's people start going through things. Sometimes that's changes in the weather, and we got to get to the lake. You know, we can't do our Bible reading because we got to do this over here. All of that stuff gets us distracted to where we're not all going to the same purpose on the same course. And as for this church, which means all of us, we're all supposed to be going the same direction. We're all going to be going to the same place at the same timing. Because, see, God's not going to come get me out of the bathroom or wait till I get back out here to say what He's going to say. He's God. He doesn't wait on me. He doesn't bow to my will or what I think or my desires. You must set yourself in a place to hear God, to receive from God. How many knows if I just spend all my time watching TV and I don't pray and I don't fast and I don't seek God and I don't obey Him during the week or what? I've done this. I can tell you from experience. When I first started doing stuff, I had no idea. Nobody taught me this stuff. God just kind of like throwed me into the Sunday school position, and I don't know nothing. Never done nothing. Went to a ladies' meet one time at Faith Restoration, and Sister Margie wanted me to take up the offer. Just, Johnny, like y'all do, take the basket around and get the money. I said, I can't. She said, yes, you can. I said, I can't. She said, I mean, this is how bad it was. I can't even pass a basket. And then I come down here, and God says, 2 weeks after being here, God says, do Sunday school. Oh, I have not a clue. And there was a time that I didn't know what all I was supposed to be doing. God, you're something else. I didn't know what all I was supposed to be doing. I was supposed to be seeking and hearing and all this kind of stuff. You know, I don't know. I guess I just thought, did like everybody else, like y'all see. You get up here and it just rolls. No. You don't get up here and it just rolls. You've had to have heard Him or something. But anyway, excuse me, I had a week that I really didn't seek the Lord like I should, you know. And I remember this is the time I'd bought that red Dodge truck, you know. And I was, this week, Scotty was putting them booming speakers in for me, so I had to get me some T-Bone music. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Some of you. Anyway, it's Christian rap with a boom. So I've been on that all week, you know, and them speakers and all that stuff. And then Sunday morning kind of like snuck up on me, you know, when I got up there and I'm like, nothing. And then one time I had to get somebody else to do Sunday school because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And I was so up in fear, I couldn't have nothing. You learn and you grow, or you should. Now you're dumb if you just don't. I don't know what all that was about, but anyway, you better be ready. The Bible says, that's not just for ministers. Be ready, instant, in season and out of season, and anytime you think it ain't the right season. Why? Because His season's not always mine and your season of what we think. Now, where did I tell y'all go? Did we read all that? Yeah, okay. Let's go to Isaiah 61 now, and we're going to see here what Jesus read. See, they had the book of Isaiah. They had the Old Testament written down whenever Jesus came. This is what He was quoting here in Isaiah 61. The same thing is for me and you. He has anointed us, right? Why? For a purpose. His purpose. See, God's going to get His plan and His purposes done in the earth, but it'll be up to me and you whether He uses us or not. Because I don't believe me and Scotty was His first choice to be here at Bluntsville. For those of you that may not know, there used to be a big church up the road. I won't call the name of it. They got in trouble. Some things happened. Anyway, they went down. Now, I don't know if they were supposed to be the ones, but I don't believe we was God's first choice. And I know from the way that God laid it out, Scotty was not His first choice to go on the streets there beside McDonald's at Dollar General. Because the very guy that God had told, and He may have told five before that guy, I don't know. Because the thing about God is He comes, He asks you to be a part of His plan. If you're unwilling, He will move on and He will find somebody that will. Then we will stand in judgment for whatever God asked us or told us that we was unwilling to do. But that guy, whenever Scotty started on the street, that guy come up there and he asked him, he said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm out here, you know, God told me to come out here on the street and preach the gospel. The guy started crying and told him, said, God told me to do it. And Scotty tells him, just repent, you know. In other words, too late now, I'm here. But if you'll repent, God will have mercy, right? But it's up to us whether or not God can and will use us. He wants to use every Christian in his plan. He's supposed to use every Christian in his plan. But just like this, say God tells you to give somebody $100 or $50, whatever the amount. What if it's your last? Do you know how many people sometimes, and this is what a lot of Christians like, I'm going to pray about it. God, is this really you? You know. Most time you know, but you're going to pray about it 5 days after they done thirsted to death 3 days ago because they needed something to drink. Y'all hear what I'm telling you? I need to pray about this. Listen, we should be beyond that. We know the Spirit of God, and sometimes I know that we're not exactly clear. How can you go wrong, though, with giving if you give it in faith? You cannot outgive God, and the Bible says he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay. No interest. He only pays what you gave on that one. Anyway, we got to get back to this. How do I get that? King James Version 2. Now, this is where the book of Isaiah that Jesus wrote read from. He could have read anywhere 60 chapters before this, right? And it wouldn't have been the right one. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He's anointed us too if we're born again. To preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Zion's a representation of the church. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I mean, and you could go on with that. He tells even more that they would do or whatever. But notice what he's anointed for. Me and you are anointed with the same anointing. It is the same Holy Spirit. It is the same anointing that was in Jesus that is in and upon us. For what? Everything that we just read. We're called to heal the brokenhearted. We're called to bring beauty to those that sit in ashes. Are we not? It's the same anointing. But the thing about it is, if we hear from him, and we have that same anointing, that anointing will do the same thing when it comes out of your mouth or you lay your hands on, right? Don't the Bible say in Mark 16 over there that we, the born again, those believers, right? So you got to be believing it, that we will lay hands on the sick and what? They shall recover. Doesn't he say that here? It's the same anointing. It's not a different anointing. But the way that you increase the anointing is you die. Oh, God, something else. You die. What's that mean? That means whatever he says, I need to be obeying it. And believe you me, I feel like I need the most work of all of y'all. And I'm the one saying this, but how many knows God doesn't have me say this because I've got it all right. He has me say this because he's the one that's chosen me, called me, appointed me, and anointed me to say it to you. And see, I don't have a special anointing or a different anointing than what y'all do to live. I have an anointing to teach. I have a calling to teach, yes, but I don't have a separate anointing to live it. We all have the same anointing, right? That anointing, we read it in 1 John, teaches me. Teaches me what's right. Teaches me what's wrong. Teaches me don't do this. Teaches me do this, right? So whenever we die, when I say die, I let my will go. Some sayings that I've had to come up with, and you may have to come up with them some yourself. It's one of them is, it's hard to run the world, and I don't do it. I don't care. What I mean by that is because before that ideal woman whole thing that God began to show me and give me revelation about, I tried to run everything. Not meaning to be bossy, and things that I would say would sound bossy and all of that, but it kept me in such turmoil all the time. Travis and Beth ain't none of my business. Johnny and Samantha ain't none of my business. Now, I pray for you. I do stuff like that. But other than that, that's got to be the end of that. I don't want to know nothing about y'all. I don't need to know nothing about y'all. Well, the Holy Ghost knows. And if I'll hear from him and he tells me to do something or pray something or say something, then I can be effective. But in order for him to live, Brother Brad used to tell us this way. He would say, the blessing or the anointing is on the life of Christ. Not Jesus. Jesus was the man. Christ was the anointing. He would say, the blessing or the anointing is on the life of Christ. So the more that I yield to the life of Christ on the inside of me, the more he will live, the more blessing I will walk in, the more effectiveness that I will walk in. But the less he lives and the more I live, oh man, it's bad. Y'all are like, we know, Teresa. But I mean, it's bad. But see, it's whatever he tells me. And it's the little things. See, sometimes people like to compartmentalize their life. Like Scotty, you know, we're young Christians, you know, we don't know nothing about the Lord, but we love him, we're saved, we go to church, you know, and pray. He's praying in the morning before he goes to work, you know, we had a recliner there. He would pray at that recliner, and y'all have heard the story. But he would get up and he'd say, okay, Lord, I love you, and I'll see you this evening when I get back. Now, to us, that probably sounds crazy. He did not know God's inside him. That anointing that teaches him is on the inside of him. So he doesn't know. He's taking him with him, but he doesn't know it. So therefore, if he doesn't know it, guess what? To him, it's just like he's not there. He's not listening. He's not paying attention for him or anything. But then that one day, the Lord says, why don't you take me with you? And he's like, I can take you with me. Do y'all understand what I'm telling you? And you have to begin to develop an ear to hear him. Because most of the time, well, I wouldn't say most of the time. Sometimes he comes in a form of a thought. I remember one time, I think it may have been the first time I ever realized that that was him, a thought. We was trying to get money to buy this church from Preston, Scotty's brother, give him his part of it. And his sisters were trying to buy them out, you know, and we're going to move up there at Mom and Em's place. Anyway, a whole long thing. Anyway, we got a lot of things we're trying to do, and none of it is working out. And all of a sudden, I can see myself right now. I'm back there on the four-wheeler. Me and Scotty had been talking about it. He starts to walk off. All of a sudden, I have this thought, like, interjected. And I knew it because I wasn't thinking it. Why don't you buy them out? And I thought, why don't we buy them out? Because, see, we're trying to buy, they're trying to buy us out. Our place where we lived, our trailer, all that kind of stuff. And it's not working for them. And all of a sudden, I have this thought, why don't you buy them out? I told Scotty, I said, I believe the Lord said, why don't we buy them out? Do you understand what I'm telling you? Don't think every thought that you have is just you. Sometimes it's God. Just like the devil can give you thoughts or suggestions, so can God. And we need to know which ones is which. Well, sure enough, I told him, he went to them, told them, we're going to buy y'all out. We paid them their money. We paid Preston his money. And here we are. But see, we're going the wrong direction. We're trying to figure it out, and it's not working. Nothing we're doing is working. But when he said it, we acknowledged it was him, and then we went toward that way, the whole thing worked out, and we're sitting in this building today. Nobody owns it but us. Well, of course, God, you know. I mean, he's the owner of it or whatever. But see, wherever I want something that's not his will, I have to die to that, and that ain't easy. It doesn't matter what I want. It can be something good. But God's got something better, right? I've got to stop here. Our time is almost up. Does anybody have